as we came into at the end of 2021, Lord began to put this word on my heart, and it was a word that I love. It's a word that it's been a part of our vocabulary for years, but at the same time, it was taking on more weight. It was getting heavier in me. It just kind of took on more meaning. It took on more prophetic. It took on more weight, and it was the word thrive. Y'all like that word? Which word you like better, thrive or survive? What do you want in 2022? You want to thrive or do you want to survive? I want to thrive. And so we began prophesying that word. Just, man, we're going to thrive in 2022. If you look at my phone, you know, at the top of my phone, it says thrive 2022. And so we began to declare that. And then God added, come on, he gave me a word, then he gave me his word. And he gave us Exodus 3:20, which was, unto him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And I started meditating on that scripture because everything about that scripture says thrive. I mean, there's what we ask or think. And then God says, I'm going to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask. Does that sound like survive or thrive? That sounds like thrive. And so we're meditating. We're prophesying that scripture. Man, we're hitting on it, hitting on it, hitting on it, hitting on it. And then at the end of the year, God added a word to thrive, and it was this. And it tells you a lot about 2022. Listen up carefully. It was thrive regardless. Regardless. What does that tell you? There's some stuff going to go down in 2022. Come on, there's some stuff going to go down in America. There's some stuff that's going to go down in the economy. There's some stuff that's going to go down in politics. There's going to be some stuff that's going to go down in the media. There's going to be stuff that's going to go down. We're in Texas. Y'all are in Louisiana. Come on, there's going to be some stuff. There's going to be some stuff. And regardless of what happens, what are we going to do? We're going to thrive. In other words, we ain't going to blink. No matter what happens in 2022, go ahead and say it. Say, I'm not blinking. No, we're going to thrive. We're going to see exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. According to that power that worketh in us. Our best days are ahead. Manny, y'all's best days are ahead. This church's best days are regardless. Regardless. Well, I want that to be a reality. And you know, you can get a word from God, but that still means you have to do your part. You can get a word from God, but you still got to do what God tells you to do. You can get a word from God, but you still have to obey the instruction that the Holy Ghost gives you. You know, God does his part. I mean, no, you got to do your part. It's like your healing. Come on, Jesus did his part 2,000 years ago, but your part is to reach out and receive. In other words, do what that woman didn't do. So turn in your Bible over to John, the second chapter. There's a few things that I want to show you tonight that if you'll get a hold of, if you'll get it in your home, you'll get it in your business, if you'll get it, come on, in this church, if you'll get it, more importantly, in your heart, you're going to thrive regardless this year. And no matter what happens in our country, you're not going to blink. It's not going to faze you. Come on, you're going to thrive. It's going to be the greatest year you've ever had so far. The devil knows it. Heaven knows it. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. In John, the second chapter, this is one of my favorite stories. I've been preaching out of this chapter for years and years and years. There's so much here. There's so many different directions I could go. There's so many things that are my favorite in this chapter. But y'all know the story. This is when Jesus turned water into wine. Amen? Y'all know the story. He's at a marriage, Cana of Galilee. He's there with his disciples. His ministry is just starting. You say, how do you know? Well, because it was the first miracle he'd ever did, right? And so he's there. He's talking to them. Here comes mama. Here comes mama. Come on, mama's baby. They have no wine. They have no wine. They've run out of wine. Jesus says, woman, what have I to do with you? And she tells the servant, she said, hey, whatever he tells you to do, you guys do it. And so Jesus, what does he say? He said, take these six water pots right here. Take these six water pots, fill them up to the brim. And they went and did what he told them to do. And then he said, now take the first dip and go give it to the governor of the feast. Come on, am I doing good? Am I getting the story right? And so they take it over there. They give this cup of water to the governor of the feast. And somewhere between the dip and the sip, that water turned into wine. And it freaked that governor out. This guy was the most important person at the wedding. He freaks him out. He stops the whole wedding, calls the bride and groom over, and goes, "I got an announcement to make. Something has happened. My mind is blown. For every wedding I've ever been to," everybody puts out the good wine at the beginning. And then when everybody is slobber knockered drunk, come on. They bring out all the trashy wine. You know, Laura said Boone's Farm and, you know, Mad Dog 2020. Put some food coloring in it, some purple food coloring, you know. They come on, put that trashy stuff out, right? They bring out that trashy wine. And, of course, nobody knows because everybody's drunk, right? And he goes, "But no, y'all haven't done that. Y'all saved the best for last." Ooh, what a story. And it goes on to say in verse 11, "And this was the beginning of miracles that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and he manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." And there's so many different reasons why I love that chapter. Let me give you a few things. Number one, it shows the heart of the Father. Heart of the Father. What's the heart of the Father? Well, in the Old Testament, Moses turned water into blood. But here in the New Testament, the first miracle that Jesus did, come on, the Father turned water into wine. There's a difference there. Old Testament's law, New Testament's grace. But can I give you a little bit more insight in that? When Moses turned that water into blood, he turned the Nile River into blood. Let me tell you what that did. That shut down the entire economy of Egypt. It grinded it to a halt. Because the entire economy of Egypt was based on that river. That's where all the fish were. That's where all the trading was. That's where all the fertile ground was around that river. And if you take control over that river, you have just shut down the entire economy of a country. But so the first miracle Jesus did is he turns water into wine. What did he do? It was the opposite of what was done in the Old Testament. He just opened up the entire economy to his grace. It's the heart of the Father. Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. And you see that. First miracle, water into wine. I always like to say it's wine time. Amen? It's wine time. The second thing, this story, it just shows you what a miracle is. You know, if you really want to get a good laugh, Google Webster's Dictionary of the definition of a miracle. You talking about a bunch of mumbo jumbo. You could read it five times and you're not going to remember anything that you read. Because it's some PhD prontificating and it makes no sense whatsoever. You can't remember it. But you know what a miracle is just by this story. So what's a miracle? It's just when God turns water into wine. That's all a miracle is when God turns water into wine. Or you could say it this way. All a miracle is when God turns a this into a that. All a miracle is when God turns something you don't want into something you do want. Anybody got anything you don't want? You want God to turn it into something you do want? That's what's fixing to happen in your body in a few minutes, and there ain't nothing you can do about it because you're already here. Come on, you got stuff going on in your body you don't want. So guess what God's going to do? He's going to turn it into something you do want. After all those blackbirds fly. How about this? All a miracle is when God turns something that Satan has meant for your destruction into something for his glory. And the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is one story after another of God just turning things around. Come on, he turned a barren earth into a garden. Right? Come on, he turned a barren womb into a nation. He turned a river into a dry road. Come on, let's bring it all the way up. He turns orphans into sons and daughters of God. He turns captives into deliverers. He turns a mission field into a missionary. Come on, he'll turn shallow into deep. He turns things around. He turns water into wine. He turned Satan's greatest victory, Calvary, into Satan's greatest defeat. He turns things around. He's an expert at it. And when he does, you're seeing thrive. You're seeing exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. And so you see what a miracle is. But one of the things that brought me to this story was something I saw years ago that I just thought, be honest with you, I just thought it was rude. You ever read something in the Bible and it just seemed rude to you? Come on, somebody says something in the Bible and you go, well, you know, that's kind of rude. You know, I don't really know if I like that too much. And when I read what Jesus said to his mama, she came and said, baby, they've run out of wine. And what did Jesus say? Woman, let's just stop right there. Come on. I grew up with a mama who had the ability to out-mad anybody. You just didn't want to argue with my mama. All right? And if I would have ever said in my wildest dreams, woman, I'd have woke up next week. Huh? I mean, I would have woke up next week. I mean, everybody was terrified of my mama. She was a mama bear. Woman? Are you kidding? Woman? Jesus said, woman, what have I to do with you? And that's always kind of, you know, it bothered me. Now listen, anytime you read something in the Bible and it bothers you, please know you're wrong. You're just not seeing it the way the Holy Ghost is wanting you to see it. And so I knew I was wrong, but I was like, all right, Holy Ghost, you're going to have to help me with this. All right, so can I help you a little bit? Can I clarify that? So you don't think Jesus is rude, all right? Y'all remember when Jesus was 12 years old and he went AWOL? He went jailbreak? Come on, they were 3 days away from Jerusalem and he's nowhere to be found. So they had to work their way all the way back to Jerusalem. Where did they find him? Y'all know where he found him, right? He's arguing with the Pharisees in the temple, right? And so mama finds him. They finally find him. Oh my God, you know how that moment went, mamas. Half of mama wanted to wear his bottom out. And the other half of mama wanted to hug his neck off. And what did Jesus have to say? He said, hey, don't you know it must be about my father's business? That's one focused little 12-year-old, right? Think about that. 12 years old in the temple talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees. And what comes out of his mouth is, hey, don't you know it must be about my father's business? Well, here's my question. If he was that focused at 12, how focused do you think he was at 30? See, that's who Mary ran into that day at the wedding. She wasn't his baby boy anymore. She wasn't her sweet little Jesus. This was the Messiah. This was the Christ. He had prepared 30 years for 3.5 years of ministry. He had been waiting 30 years for his time to come, and his time had come. He had been baptized in the River Jordan. The Holy Ghost descended on him like a dove. It was time to rock and roll. He knew Calvary was coming like a freight train. He knew he had a limited amount of time to do everything the Father had told him to do, and he knew he was going to be leaving this earth soon, and he had work to do. He had a kingdom assignment. He wasn't mama's little boy anymore. He wasn't a carpenter's son anymore. He had all of mankind, past, present, and future, riding on his shoulders. I'm not asking us to be more focused than a 30-year-old Jesus, but do you really want a 12-year-old Jesus to be more focused than you? Think about that for a second. Here we are, the beginning of 2022. Are we going to let a 12-year-old Jesus be more focused than us? Every time I read that, that's the question. Am I going to let a 12-year-old Jesus be more focused than me? Yeah, but Brother Philip, wait a minute. It was Jesus, 12. But he was the Christ. He was the Messiah. Help me. 12. Been around a 12-year-old? Now, I'm sure he was the most mature 12-year-old that had ever been, but he's still 12. This is the hour to be more focused than we've ever been. We're going to run into some stuff in 2022. Some stuff's going to go down. Don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. Stay focused. Focused on what? You're kings and priests unto God. You're part of a kingdom. You got a kingdom anointing. You got a kingdom authority. You got a kingdom assignment. You have access to kingdom provision. Let this be the most focused you've ever been on kingdom. And don't let anything distract you. No matter what goes down in this country, don't blink. Come on, in the midst of it all, stand up and worship Jesus louder than you ever have. Amen? Again, don't let a 12-year-old Jesus be more focused than you. Is that all right? Been preaching that stuff for years. Never get tired of it, but I saw something here recently that I'd never seen before. And I really believe it's a prophetic word for the church going into 2022. And I believe it's a key. It's an incredible key to thrive. It's an incredible key to exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. It's an incredible key to the Manny campus maximizing its potential and being the church that, do y'all understand there are people that within a 30-mile range that for decades and decades and decades have been praying for a church to completely take this area for Jesus? And I don't know who those intercessors are, but God knows who every one of them is. Are y'all gonna be the church to get the job done? Amen. Amen. Well, I believe this is the key to that. So let's go back to that wedding for a moment. What's a wedding all about? There was an atmosphere to that wedding. And a lot of people say, well, you know, it's love. Well, not really, because there's love before a wedding. There's love after a wedding, hopefully. Amen. There's really a word that defines a wedding. And if you've ever been to one, you're immediately going to get this. It's the word honor. Everything about a wedding is honor. That's the atmosphere of a wedding. And it all begins, why is everybody there? Because you're there to honor the bride and the groom. Come on, isn't that right? The bride and the groom, we're there to honor them, celebrate them, esteem them highly. We're there for the bride and the groom, but it doesn't end there. You know, the groom has a best man and he's being honored. The bride has a maid of honor and she's being honored. The groom has the groomsmen, they're being honored. Oh my God, they got invited to be a groomsman and they're wearing the tux and they're walking around, right? And they're being honored and all the girls are all wearing, you know, dresses that they love because they're the bride, you know, they're the bridesmaids. And then you got the ring bearer, he's being honored. You got the little flower girl, and she's being honored. And then you got both families, and they're sitting at the head table, and they're being honored. And then you got the preacher, all right? And the preacher comes walking in, and everybody knows that's the preacher, and he's the one doing the ceremony, and he's being honored. And then everybody that's there, what do they feel for being invited to come? They feel honored. And that's what was going on that day. Everybody at this wedding felt honored. The bride, the groom, the family, the governor of the feast, right? He even got a title. It's a title of honor. Everybody's feeling honor. Everybody's being honored. Mary's being honored. She had a position of authority, or she wouldn't have been able to tell the servants, do whatever he tells you to do. Everybody's being honored, but it's all fixing to get washed down the drain. All that honor, it's all fixing to go. It's all fixing to disappear. All that honor is about to be turned into dishonor. Why? They ran out of wine. And that's something that may not be a big deal in this culture, but in that culture, Families prepared for weddings, not for months, but sometimes for years. It was a whole nother ball game. I mean, weddings are huge in America, but they don't come close to what they were in that culture. And to run out of wine, that's just something you didn't do. It would have brought dishonor on the bride and the groom and the families and the governor of the feast. And it would have brought dishonor upon Mary. And everybody there would have felt dishonored. And Jesus steps in. He steps in. And he's going to save the day. Come on, here comes Jesus to save the day. Come on. Jesus is fixing to step in and save the day. And y'all know what he did. He took those 6 water pots and water got turned into wine. Go bear it to the governor of the feast. And I want you to look at what happens here. Instead of all that honor being washed down the drain, all that honor got promoted to a level nobody had ever seen before. That governor stopped the whole wedding. Bride and groom, y'all come here. Come here. Don't you know they were probably worried? It's like, what did he say? He wants us to come here. Oh my God, I hope there's something wrong. Is something wrong? And they walk over there and he goes, listen. He goes, all these weddings I've ever been to, everybody, the good wine is brought out first and then everybody gets drunk and then they bring out the trashy wine. Come on. But you guys have saved the best for last. What happened in that moment? Come on there. Smile came on the bride and groom's face. All the families started smiling. The governor of the feast is smiling. Why? Honor has just went from here to here. Somebody looked over at Mary and gave her a big smile. Come on, all the disciples are looking at Jesus. Did he just turn water into wine? Huh? Mary looks over at her son. Can you imagine the smile on her face? Everybody. Honor went through the roof. To the degree, and this will really bring it home. That's the most famous wine in the last 2,000 years. What wine has been talked about more in the last 2,000 years than that wine? Those are the most famous 6 water pots in the history of the world. Huh? That's the most famous wedding in the last 2,000 years. Come on, there's a husband and a wife up in heaven and they wear a t-shirt called We're the Couple in John 2. How many times in heaven do you think they've told the story? Think about it. That's what you're going to do. One day you're going to be in heaven and you're going to see them and you're going, hey, whoa. Are you the couple? Are you the couple in John 2? Yes. What happened? And you're going to sit down by the river of life, come on, right, and drink a glass of tea, and she's going to tell you the whole, is that what's going to happen? What do you think we're going to be doing in heaven? We're going to be hearing some of the greatest stories in the history of the world. That bride's been telling that story for 2,000 years in heaven. I hope she's in heaven. Do y'all hope she's in heaven? I got to believe she's in heaven. Everybody say honor. Honor is the atmosphere for miracles. Think about it. The first miracle that happened, it took place in an atmosphere of honor. And if we want to see thrive in 2022, if we want to see exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, what needs to be the atmosphere of our church, the atmosphere of our life, the atmosphere of our home, the atmosphere of your business? Come on, what needs to be the atmosphere of your marriage? What needs to be the atmosphere of everything that we have control over? It needs to be that atmosphere of honor. Atmosphere of honor. What is honor? Honor is to esteem someone highly. Esteem something highly. I love Laura's definition of honor. We teach this in the marriage seminar a lot because, you know, the Bible says twice in Ephesians 5 for women to honor their husbands. What is that? What does that mean? This is what Laura says. It's not stumbling over who your husband is not, but appreciating and honoring who your husband is. Come on, isn't that good? But listen, shouldn't we be that way with everybody? Not stumbling over who people aren't, but appreciating people for who they are. Come on, we can live honor. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think y'all will agree with this. Everything in our country right now is teaching children to dishonor everything. You think that's on purpose? I mean, you think that's by accident? Come on, children are being taught to dishonor everything and everyone. It's a demonic plan from the pit of hell. And you know what? It's creeping over into the church. And if you've got an atmosphere of dishonor in the church, are you going to have miracles? No, you're going to have the opposite of miracles. You're going to have churches ruled by circumstances instead of churches filled with miracles. Amen? So let me give you a few more specifics about what I mean. We were talking about this earlier. Can we do a better job of honoring people? Think about all the people that are going to come walking in these doors in the next year. You think we can do a better job of honoring everybody that walks in? Now listen, I know it's easy to honor honorable people. But there's going to be people that are going to come walking through those doors that maybe aren't honorable. You think we can honor them anyway? You say, honor what? How about we honor their potential? Does every person have potential? Mike Murdoch uses this quote. I love it. He said, "And inside, every person is a king and a fool. And the one you talk to is the one that responds back to you." In other words, if you talk to the king in someone, who's going to talk back to you? The king in them. If you talk to the fool in someone, you ever talk to the fool in someone? Who talked back at you? The fool. When people come walking through these doors in 2022, let's honor their potential in Christ. No matter what they look like, how they're dressed, how they smell, their testimony. Come on, their mistakes. Let's honor their potential. I'm telling you, if we will, we'll see miracles. We'll see miracles. You'll see miracles. Ooh, blackbirds will fly. Come on. Let's honor giftings. Let's honor giftings. Let's be a church that honors the giftings. Now, I know when you're sitting out there, and I've been sitting out there my whole life, you look up here and you see preachers and some of the brother up here playing the drums, and you get these people playing these instruments, and it's easy to see their giftings, especially people up on a stage. But see, you might be looking at me, but I'm looking at you. And you might be looking at my gifting, but you know what? I'm looking at your gifting, and you've got a gifting just as much as I got a gifting. There is a gifting that God has given each and every one of you to move God's kingdom forward. And you're just as gifted as I'm gifted. And we need to learn how to honor those giftings. And one of the ways we can do that is by helping people find out what that gifting is. And that doesn't mean try to make everybody a preacher. There's more giftings that have nothing to do with preaching than have something to do with preaching. And that's why it's so important to get involved in these connect groups. Amen? And so I don't know the when, the where, the who, the why. They do, and I know they're experts at communicating it. Get involved in those connect groups. Why? They're going to help you discover what your gifting is. Amen? We got to do a better job with that. How about this? I think we can do a better job of honoring moments. You know, every Sunday morning, when y'all come together at 5:00, and I know soon y'all are going to be coming together on a Sunday morning, it's a moment. And the easiest thing in the world to do in church is to take moments for granted. To become familiar with church. Well, it's just another Sunday. It's just another message. I went to church this Sunday. I can check the box. Come on, we feel good about ourselves for another week. But that's not honoring the moment. This is what I call tonight, I call it a snowflake moment. Do you know this moment we're in has never been before and it never will be again? How many know every snowflake's different? There's never been two snowflakes exactly alike, just like there has never been two fingerprints that are alike. This is a moment, me being here, you guys being here, where you're seated, what I'm preaching, this atmosphere, it's never happened in the history of the world. It'll never happen again in the history of the world. And if we want to see miracles, we've got to learn how to honor these moments and never take them for granted. Never become familiar with church. And can I tell you, that happens in probably 90, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99% of churches around the world. Moments aren't honored. They're taken for granted. And then we wonder why we're not seeing the miracles we want to see. When you honor a moment, it brings out the glory of God. You think we can do better at honoring the Holy Spirit? How many know good things are always going to happen if you honor the Holy Ghost? Is the Holy Spirit here? Is He here? Think about that. Everybody say, the Holy Spirit is here. Well, let's say that again. The Holy Spirit is here. Think we could do a better job of honoring Him? I had a friend of mine. I was preaching up in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and he was telling me a friend of his was in his, he was a pastor, and he was back in his room, and he was getting ready to come out on a Sunday morning and preach. He was just about to walk out the door, and one of his elders stuck his head in and said, "Pastor, I'm not 100% sure, but I think Reinhard Bonnke is sitting in the church." Now, this was not a big church. It was up there in Kentucky. He said, "I think Reinhard Bonnke is sitting in church." Now, I don't know if you know who Reinhard Bonnke is, but there's been three men that have preached to more human beings than anyone that has ever lived. No one, there's not a fourth person that comes close. Billy Graham, Reinhard Bonnke, and T.L. Osborne. Billions of people. Are y'all listening to me? Billions of people. And the pastor stuck his head out the door, and sitting in the back was Reinhard Bonnke. He walks over to him. "Brother, Pastor, Brother Reinhard Bonnke, thank you so much for coming. Oh my God, you're one of our heroes. We love you so much. Oh my gosh." And he talks to him on it. "Brother Reinhard, would you please greet the people? Is that what you would do, Pastor? Would you ask, if Reinhard Bonnke came in on a Sunday morning, would you ask him to get, I know he's on, went on to be with heaven, but would you ask him, hey, Brother Reinhard, will you get up and greet everybody? Would you get up and greet everybody?" Why? Because you would want to honor. How much more should we honor the Holy Spirit every time we come together? Who's more important in a service, Reinhard Bonnke or the Holy Ghost? Isn't that powerful? Think we can do a better job of honoring Jesus? Honoring Jesus? Honoring the incredible, mighty, holy, wonderful, amazing name of Jesus? Come on, somebody say, Jesus is here. He's here, isn't He? He's here in us. He's here through the Holy Spirit. Is there anyone that's more important to worship than Him? He said, "Brother Philip, what about the Father?" Let me ask you a question. If we don't honor people, is there any way Father's going to be honored? If we don't honor the giftings in people, is the Father going to be honored? If we don't honor the moment, is there any way the Father's going to be honored? If we don't honor the Holy Spirit, who's here to minister, is there any way the Father's going to be honored? If we don't honor His Son, Jesus Christ, is there any way the Father can be honored? No, I'm telling you. When you begin to honor people and you honor giftings and you honor the moment and you honor the Holy Spirit and you honor Jesus, the Father is going to be honored and He's going to pour out His glory. And you know what happens in that glory? Miracles. So I wrote this down. Honor is the ground that miracles come forth from. Honor is the air that miracles breathe and come to life. Honor is the river that miracles move. It's time we grab hold of that word and we maximize it in our life. And I'm telling you, the more you'll take that word and get it in your heart, the more you'll take that word and get it in your kids, the more you take that word and get it in your business, the more you get that word and you get it in your home, the more you get that word and you get it in the church, the atmosphere is going to change and the more miracles you're going to begin to see, and you're going to start seeing God turn things around. But you got to stay focused. Come on, stand to your feet. Got to stay focused. Gonna have to stay focused. Yeah, play, sweetie. Gonna have to stay focused. Everybody look up here. One of the things the Lord put on my heart in our country right now, I've never seen such dishonor. People are dishonoring everything and they're dishonoring everyone. You can't turn on the news and not see dishonor. We've got such name calling in America. The left's calling names to the right. The right's calling names to the left. That was something we didn't see growing up, but now it's commonplace. And in 2022, it's going to get worse. We got elections coming up. There's all this stuff going on in the economy. Everything's going on in the politically. And you're going to see such dishonor. Left, right, right, left. Don't let that spirit get on you. Now, do we vote? Yeah. Do we pray? Yeah. Do we stand up for what's right? Yeah. Do we stand up against what's wrong? Yeah. But you can do all that honorably. I said you can do all that honorably. And the church has to be careful that we don't let a spirit of dishonor get in our heart, get in the church. Because if we do, we're going to mess up this atmosphere for miracles. And I don't know about you, but if there was ever an hour where we need miracles, if you're going to, do you think you're going to reach Manny without miracles? No, we need God showing up in this place every time the doors open and turning things around in the lives of people. Turning what Satan meant for their destruction into something for His glory. Turning their this into that. Turning what they don't want into something they... This is a place of honor. Let's protect that. And let's be more focused on it than we ever have been. Amen?